Welcome to the podcast. My name is Jamie Knight, and I am a realtor with Real Broker right here in Cajun Country, Lafayette, Louisiana. The goal of this podcast is to add massive value by bringing insider access to our area's top agents and from agents around the South. Although our guest today is a little outside of the South, he's in Southern California. So it is my pleasure to welcome Jeb Smith to the podcast. Jeb is a top realtor from Southern California, and he's got a Southern name. So we feel like we can welcome him to a Southern podcast. So Jeb, welcome to the podcast, my brother.
I appreciate it, Jamie. Thanks for having me, man. I'm from the South. I'm from North Carolina, born in Tennessee, raised in North Carolina, and moved to California after graduation. So I've been in California over half my life now, man. Seems crazy. Still Southern at heart, though. So I feel like I belong on the podcast.
All okay. Right, brother. I love it, man. I love it. You know, being Southern is just, it's a state of mind, right? So
100%.
Let's jump right into it, baby. Tell us how you got into the real estate business. Tell us a little bit of your backstory and then bring us to where you are now and what you're creating now with YouTube and all of these other platforms.
So raised in North Carolina, went to college in North Carolina. Shortly after graduating, moved across country to Southern California. And everybody always asks how I ended up in Southern California, you know, literally coast to coast. And I had actually dated a girl in college. It was from Huntington Beach. And I'd come out to Southern California a couple times during the summers. She would come home. I would come out here. Leaving North Carolina in the summer, it's 100 plus degrees, humidity, it's awful. Rains all the time, you know, that sort of thing. And then you get to Southern California and it was 70,
right?
It was sunny. You actually needed like a jacket. I mean, I'm like, what is going on here? And this place is amazing. And so long story short, it didn't work out with us, but I still ended up in Southern California. I told myself, hey, when I graduate, I'm driving across country. And that's exactly what I did. Ended up in Southern California. And how I got started in the mortgage business is actually contacts of her, believe it or not. Her family and friends had new people in different areas of mortgage and real estate. And I basically came out jobless to some degree and was looking for some sort of job in sales. Didn't know what I wanted to do. Had a computer science background, or I have a computer science background or degree, and knew I didn't want to sit behind a desk and do that all day. Didn't want to program. I wanted to talk to people, wanted to get in front of people, wanted the opportunity to kind of make my own when it came to a sales position. And they told me, hey, why don't you start mortgage? Why don't you start in real estate? Try to figure it out and go from there. I have a background in math from computer science. And so numbers, you know, come easy to me for the most part, and kind of got thrown into it. Honestly, had no idea what I was doing. And then 22, 23 years later now, I am still doing that same thing, but at a much higher level. At least I like to think. So yeah. That's where we are.
So where are you now? Are you still involved in mortgages? I know you're a realtor now.
But I'm not. Yeah, I'm not involved in mortgages. So I shortly after coming out here, being in the mortgage business for a couple of years, I like to think I'm a pretty quick learner. I got my broker's license pretty early on in the process. As soon as I could, opened a mortgage company like everybody else did during the craziness right before the great financial crisis. Primarily doing loans that whole period of time. Made it all the way to 2012 after GFC. Primarily doing loans, some real estate on the side. Real estate wasn't my primary focus, but I was dabbling in it at that time. And then, long story short, 2012 came and I was just tired of the same conversations when it came to the mortgage business. Kind of felt like I was beating my head up against the wall, and had some opportunities with different servicers, Fannie, Freddie, that sort of thing, Wells Fargo, Bank of America. And this started in like 2010, where I could start selling foreclosures. As I started to do that, I started to pull away from the mortgage business and got full on into to real estate. So I stopped doing, I think the last loan I did was 2012, but I started real estate primarily kind of focusing in 2009, 2010. And then that's really been the focus ever since.
Gotcha. And then you do a good bit of business from your YouTube channel. So go there for us. When did the YouTube thing come into play? How did that enter your business? Because I know a lot of people are interested in that part of your story.
Yeah. So prior to YouTube, prior to any of that, I mean, I'll be honest, like I was kind of searching for the golden nugget, right? Nugget like everyone else is in the business. Like, where's my space? Like, how am I going to get business? In the mortgage business, you're taught to go after real estate agents, right? And because that's kind of your bread and butter, which is essentially what I did. I had a lot of relationships then, and I kind of figured out what they were doing and how they were doing it and decided, hey, listen, that's the direction I'm going to go. And that's kind of how I transitioned into real estate. Got coaching pretty early on in that side and went through Tom Ferry and then Brian Buffini. And Brian kind of resonated with me a little bit more in the sense, you know, about relationships, building relationships, referrals, and counting on those, your past clients, and planting that seed, if you will, and watering it continuously and building a business from it. And from that, prior to, and still today, it's the large majority of my business, right? I mean, but I would say prior to YouTube, it was 95% of my business. I would say the other 5% of my business, somebody found me online. Late 2019, early 2020, I had started a YouTube channel. I had one way previously, like 2012, right? I think my main channel was actually created like in 2012, 2013, if you look at the original date. But the content has evolved and it wasn't what it is today, right? It was just a placeholder for videos at that time. 2020, that time, right before the pandemic, I started producing content on YouTube. And it was essentially started as a place to post evergreen videos. I still was under the impression at that time that most people found people on YouTube through SEO. So through search engine, you know, optimization, that sort of thing, right? Putting some sort of question in and hope my video would resonate toward the top or place at the top and they would click on it, find value in me, and then call me to sell real estate. That's what I thought was going to happen. And then I realized pretty early on, a couple months into that, that those videos didn't get a lot of traction. Partly was because the way I titled them, partly because my thumbnails sucked. There was just a lot going on. And then something happened in the early part of 2020, right after the pandemic. Pandemic happened and I couldn't sell real estate. So I kind of buckled down on YouTube and said, you know what, while this happens, I'm just going to get on video and I'm going to talk to people across the country every day during this period of time. And we're just going to see what happens. Well, during that time, a lot of things were happening, right? You had forbearance, you had just all of these different things happening, newsworthy items that impacted the mortgage and real estate business on top of a lot of people calling for crashes and that sort of thing. I'm a very logical thinker. I'm very pragmatic, very numbers-based. And so at the time, I was telling people, hey, listen, the market's not going to crash. Right. Look at supply and demand. This is not what you think it is. In fact, you know, we had a shortage of inventory here in Southern California going into the pandemic, and then this just accelerated it. So there's a couple things I noticed early on is that people were very sensitive to fear when it came to any sort of title, whether it's real estate, whether it was forbearance, whether it was anything, fear sold them, right? It got their attention. And so I made a couple of videos on forbearance during that period of time that kind of started my channel on this trajectory upward. They started getting views. I went from getting, you know, 30, 40 views on a video to getting thousands of views on videos, and the subscriber base started to climb. And I said, okay, there's something here. And so kind of backed my way out of it and go, okay, what's happening? What I kind of narrowed it down to was that people were interested in addressing things that were concerning to them. Were values going to crash? Should people buy right now? How's forbearance going to affect me? All of these things. And I started making videos on it and people found value in it. And then from there, I kind of just took in things that I talked about on a daily basis with clients and used those as opportunities to talk to other people about them, right? And that's one of the things that people often ask is, what do you talk about? The same things that I talk to clients about. I mean, that's the conversation. It's just, I'm putting it in a different, packaging it a little bit differently on YouTube than I would in a conversation just because of how I have to talk, but it's the same conversation. And so from there, I would say today, revenue-wise, it's really hard to narrow down the percentage because I don't know the actual percentage. I typically calculate it at the end of the year. This year is going to be a big year for YouTube for a couple of different reasons, and I'll talk about that now. But I would say YouTube over the last couple of years has made up about a third of my business. What do I mean by that? I mean, it produces ad revenue from YouTube. So YouTube pays me on videos. On top of that, people call me to buy and sell. So I get those opportunities as well. Referrals. I send a lot of referrals out of area, out of state, different agents across the country. So nice. I obviously get paid on those as well. In the past, I've sold courses. I've done just different things in order to add revenue. So it went from about 30% last year. This year, it'll be over 50% of my revenue to some degree. Once all of those things are added up, and you calculate it against, hey, what came from the referral base, still a large percent of my business is still referral, but because of those other avenues adding to the revenue line, it's starting to make up more and more of the overall GCI and, you know, in my business.
So the other core of your business, like, because that's important too for realtors to think about too, is so that other core of your business, let's talk about that other core. So you said, you know, roughly 30 to maybe eventually 50% will come from YouTube, but the other core of your business, where is that coming from? Is that coming from past clients,
relationships? Past clients, friends, families, referrals, right? So I still put a lot of, not as much as I should, and this is something I admit and something that is my focus coming back from Real and just, you know, having some time to think about, I mean, coming back from Rise and having some time to think about my business and that sort of thing, is that that's where the most value is in my business, is that database. And I continue to nurture it. I do it often. I do a couple parties a year for clients and that sort of thing. Have a big one coming up next Tuesday that I do every single year, opportunity to reach out and talk to people and have everybody come together. So that's my focus still. YouTube is the shiny object that a lot of us get caught up in. I still pursue it and I still do it. It's still a large majority of my business, but the relationships are where the value lies.
I know realtors are looking at maybe your success that you've had with YouTube, or they're hearing this podcast and they're saying, man, I should really go start a YouTube channel. But it is a large commitment. So I want to talk about that as well. But don't forget, this is a relationship business and it's a conversation business. And the things that you're doing with your past clients and the different things are going to serve you in a large percentage of your business. And yes, YouTube can add certain things. Yes, Instagram can add certain things to the math. But overall, it's a relationship business, and the referrals and the relationships that you've had and made through the years are super important. And those are the things that really drive the business from a revenue standpoint. And although you are having some very nice gains and you're seeing some percentages kind of move in that direction, don't forget to focus on the people, the relationships, the conversations, all of those things. So I don't want realtors to miss that, because I want realtors to win more than anything right now in their business. Let's talk a little bit more about YouTube, and let's talk about maybe with your knowledge of what you've achieved in YouTube. Let's speak to an agent who maybe is at the beginning stages of it. What have you learned in the process of YouTube? And if you had to start over now with the knowledge that you have, what would you do differently, or would you do it the same?
I would definitely not do it the same. I'm very much a shoot first, ask questions later type of mentality when it comes to doing things. A lot of people have the procrastination problem. I don't, which they both have their issues. My issue is I just go. And then I realize, well, crap, had I thought that out, I could have done things a lot differently, probably would have been a lot more successful, effective, what have you. And YouTube is one of those things. I just kind of went in blindly. And before then, I mean, being completely transparent, I didn't really know what the capability of YouTube really was. And I don't know, a lot of people did 6 years ago, 5 years ago when it started, right? It's kind of on the forefront now, because there a lot of people are finding so much success in it in just different ways and what have you. But let's back out. I mean, I often ask the question of people when they talk about wanting to create a YouTube channel, are you in it for the vain metrics of it, the subscriber count number, or are you in it to get business, right? Because there's two different. You can have both, but if you go nationwide, which is essentially what I did, and not necessarily on purpose, right? That's just kind of the direction that I took. You can get subscribers a lot easily than focusing on, say, a city or a county or a hyper-local market, because there's a lot more people, right? You can speak to a lot more people. So if your goal is to talk to first-time homebuyers, there's a lot more first-time homebuyers nationwide than there are in Huntington Beach, California or Orange County. So it's a lot easier to get that subscriber base. But at the same time, if you can speak to a certain audience that's local and provide value to them and get them to move to your area or whatever that the goal of that channel is, and they use you and then they refer you and do all of the other things, and now you become quote unquote the mayor or, you know, the local agent that knows everything, that's not a bad business. In fact, I will argue that most of those people probably have a way more successful YouTube channel than I do because of that, right? Because they're making 2-3%. You know, off of listing a home on these transactions, where I'm making, you know, a couple pennies here off them viewing my video. So there's that piece. But what did I do wrong? I went in wrong because I didn't have a plan. I didn't know who I was talking to. And I think that's important. You know, you said if you had to go back and do it differently, what would you do? Well, I started another channel in January of this year where I'm speaking to a more specific audience. My current channel, the bigger channel that I have, speaks to everyone, speaks to first-time home buyers, speaks to move-up buyers, speaks to sellers, speaks to agents, speaks to whoever. It speaks to everyone, right? Gotcha. And so it doesn't have a narrow focus. And so with that, videos, you know, I post a video, not everybody's watching it because it doesn't speak to them. Whereas if I can post a video that's speaking specifically to someone, in this case, say a seller, somebody interested in selling their home, that's a pretty specific person. And you can even narrow it down, go further, you know, demographics, kids, you know, so on and so forth. And you should go deeper on that, but let's just talk to sellers. My videos primarily on that channel are talking to sellers. Well, I've had a couple of videos do really, really well because I've narrowed that focus down and videos get posted. Those people watch those videos and they continue to watch them because, hey, every video in this playlist or every video in this channel speaks to them to some degree because they're going through the selling process and they're trying to figure out what they need to do or not fix or whatever it is. And so a lot easier to grow a channel and have success when you're speaking, when the person that you're speaking to is actually resonating and watching the content.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I always say, if you're not speaking to someone, you're not speaking to anyone.
Yep.
And I think the same thing is true on other social platforms and stuff like that. And everybody wants to put out the generic content that everybody's going to laugh at or everybody's going to be engaged with. But when you really want to sell more real estate, you got to speak specifically to somebody who's most likely to do business with you, who is uniquely qualified to serve. I think that was a Phil Gerdes line. He said, who are you uniquely qualified to serve? And once you figure that out, it's easier to speak to that person, put a picture up on the wall of that sure. type of person that you're talking to, and then just look at that picture as if you're looking through the video and as if you're looking directly through that camera and speaking directly to that young couple with kids or that middle-aged person or whatever it is. It's, you know, you got to figure it out. And how did you figure out yours? And maybe there's some analytics and YouTube and stuff that helped you figure it out, but how did you find your avatar that you're speaking to on your YouTube channel?
Again, you know, the main channel, the big channel that has the most subscribers, that is still kind of all over the place. It doesn't speak to a certain person because, again, I talk about mortgages, I talk about real estate, I talk about everything. And so, you know, some videos on that channel do really well when it hits the right audience. Some videos on there don't do as well because I'm speaking to, you know, some of the people on there just don't care about that specific topic. But coming back and kind of going out of it, over the course of 5 years, I've talked to a lot of YouTubers, talked to a lot of people in the real estate business, a lot of people that do both YouTube and real estate, and talking about what works and what doesn't work, and basically kind of have, you know, just masterminding to some degree and realizing, hey, Jeb, you got to figure out who you're talking to. Like you said, if you don't have that specific person, you're kind of talking to no one. And so it was going through that and realizing, okay, if I'm going to do this again, then I need to figure out who it is, how I can talk to these people in a way that resonates with them and speaks to what they're trying to accomplish so that, you know, the content does well. And for me, I've talked to first-time home buyers on my main channel. I have a podcast where I primarily talk to first-time home buyers. And if I'm being honest, I don't like first-time home buyers in that way, right? I'd rather sell homes. I feel like I am way more valuable as a listing agent than I am a buyer's agent. Just how I feel about myself. I'm good in negotiation. I'm good in pricing. I feel like that sort of strategy fits me better than hand-holding, right? Being pragmatic. It's a lot more difficult for me to understand that side of things, right? Because of the emotional piece. Doesn't mean I'm not, just means it's more difficult. So, hey, who do you want to talk to? I'd rather talk to sellers, right? I'd rather that be the focus of my business. So at the moment, I'm working on building out that channel and working on speaking to that person so that hopefully that channel becomes what my other one has.
Yeah, I like that. I like reverse engineering it because I'm the same way. I've been really focused on my business and I've been in the business for 21 years. And I feel like I've just gotten the referrals from my past clients, the referrals from agents in different markets. And it's just generated this business of it is what comes to me. And it's great. You know, sometimes I'm listing $1 million house. Sometimes I'm listing $150,000 house. And it's just a scatterplot of different things. And it's like my real goal this year is to try to maybe refocus and saying like, okay, who do I want to speak to and who do I want to work with? And then reverse engineer it and say like, okay, now let's put out content. Now let's put out YouTube videos. Now let's put out different things so that I can speak directly to that person. And then kind of just try to narrow down a little bit of my scatterplot of referrals and opportunities that I have. I definitely appreciate having the opportunity, and I do about 50 deals a year, and I'm grateful for the opportunities that I do have. But man, how nice would it be able to put out the energy in the world, attract the client that you want to attract, and get the business that truly fits your goals for your real estate business. So I love that about the seller channel. And is that, so the new channel, is that mainly focused on sellers? Is that kind of the goal of the channel?
That's all it is. Beautiful. Talking to selling people, selling real estate.
I love that, man.
And I don't want my comment a moment ago to get taken out of context. I love the finish line of first-time homebuyers, getting the reward of handing the keys, the excitement, that sort of thing. What I don't enjoy is the driving around to 30 properties, that sort of piece, right? Whereas the listing, I know where that's going to be. I know where I'm going to spend my time. That is more of who Jeb is deep inside versus the person that's just all over the place when it comes to showing property.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I totally get it, man. And I feel like a lot of realtors will resonate with that comment as well, because listings are how you last in this business. And for me, sure, in 20 plus years of the business, I would say the majority of my business comes from listings. So I'm mainly a listing agent. I would say 75 to 80% easily of my business every year comes from listing opportunities. And then the buyer opportunities of that little small percentage is usually because of my listings. So I am kind of double siding my listings as well. So I think focusing on listings gives you leverage, and it gives you your time that you need back. Because yeah, I'm the same way as you. I love a first-time homebuyer experience. I love passing the keys off. I love the celebratory side of it. I love helping someone who's never purchased a home have the opportunity to purchase a home and, you know, share that win of being the first person in two generations who's owned a property. Sure. Like, I love that side of it. But the reality of that process is there's a lot of conversations that you have to keep them comfortable, to keep them on the right path and explain things and do everything that you know that they need. But man, like you said, a listing, you can use the tools that you have in your tool belt to promote, market, advertise, pricing, you know, really get them to the finish line. And listings do have babies, so it's a great way to continue to have more listings when you focus on listings. So what kind of content are you putting out there on that channel to reach sellers directly? Because I think that's a super unique topic right there, because I know a lot of YouTubers and a lot of them put out a lot of content that's more buyer facing, home tours, all of those things. So what type of content do you feel like is going to be really resonating with sellers on that channel?
I do a lot of research and recon on it and kind of go through what other agents have done in that space, along with just kind of on experience, right? I mean, most people, if they're looking to sell their home, either are thinking about things they need to fix before they sell it, things they should not fix. They're thinking about potential upgrades that they are considering doing that may add value so that when they do sell it, thinking about the current housing market in some degree. They're thinking about how interest rates are, what's going on right now, the change, what, last year with seller agent compensation, how that impacts their ability to sell. So it's a lot of the same stuff that you're talking about on the buying side. You're just reframing it in a way that resonates with sellers versus buyers. You can talk the same thing about design choices and that sort of thing when buying a house, things that add value. And you can also talk about that on the selling side and talk about how they may or may not add value and things that you should focus on, maybe if you're not thinking about selling your house now, but potentially selling it in the future. So some of these people aren't immediate sellers, right? They might be thinking about selling 6 months, a year, 2 years down the road, and they're just thinking about, hey, what can I do right now to my house that potentially adds the value later on? So it's a lot of the same conversations, if I'm being honest. It's just thinking about it from a different perspective, right? I often, when I'm showing property, and we're doing negotiation or making offers or we're having that conversation, I often tell buyers, let's think like the seller. Let's put ourselves in the shoes of the seller and think about the seller's position right now. We're making this offer at this. We're one of however many offers. And just kind of reframing that and going, okay, this is what the seller would say. Now, on the selling side, when I'm talking about negotiation or going through that process, I tell sellers, let's think about the buyer's perspective, right? They're first-time home buyers. They're putting little to no money down. There's their first house. They're having their first kid. They're emotional, right? They're going through this process. And so that's a different conversation, although it's the same conversation, but I'm talking to somebody different.
And I really love the different ways that you can utilize video to help sellers as well. And a lot of times we think about video and we think, man, I can, you know, I'm going to do this home tour and it's going to help this buyer or whatever. But I did this the other day on a listing appointment. I had a listing that the seller contacted me and she's out of town and her home is sitting there vacant. It's in our community, but she's 2 hours away or whatever. So she wasn't able to come to the home. So she's like, hey, here's the combination. Go take a look at the home and let me know what you think. So what I did was, like I say, I'll even do one better for you. So I got to the house, did a quick little walk around, grabbed my phone, put it in a gimbal, put my AirPods in, and I just walked through the home and I said, hey, these are the things that I would do if I were you. And here's the things that if I'm a buyer, I'm noticing about your home. Walking up to the front door, I walked up to the front door and I said, okay, hey, look, we're going to be looking around right here. If we're buyers, we're going to be looking around at the home and we're going to be seeing the mud dauber nest that's right here by your front door. We're going to be seeing the rug that's all worn out. We're going to be seeing the landscaping that's overgrown. We're going to be seeing this mildew right here that's on your brick. So all of those things need to be corrected. So I just went through, I did a video walk and talk, and I basically just filmed it, and then I uploaded that content to YouTube as a private link, and then I texted that link over to the seller so that she could then go and see Jamie's thoughts step by step,
sure,
what a buyer looked at. And then what's funny is she watched the video like 10 times. I mean, because I could see the analytics on it. She literally watched the video 10 times. And I told her, I said, look, you've got the link. It's a private link. We're not going to be putting this out on social or anything like that. And it's like, text it to her friends. She ended up texting it to her friends. They were able to help her do the home repairs on the home. And it was a neat little way that I could add value to somebody who's out of town. And honestly, I think what I'm going to do in the future moving forward for my listings is I think I'm going to just do the same thing and be like, hey, look, I'm going to come back and walk through the home, and I'm just going to give you an honest evaluation as if I'm a buyer. Because I believe in this market, what's selling is well-priced and well-prepared homes are what's selling in our market. And I could probably say the same thing for California. But that was one strategy that I'm using video for my listings and for my sellers to have their homes be better prepared. So that may be a strategy too to share on your YouTube channel as far as what you do for your sellers. That was just one strategy that I've employed.
Let me add to that, Jamie, because that's a good thought. You know, I did a video on my main YouTube channel, the bigger one, a couple weeks ago, about a month ago. Video's doing really well. And the video is called something like How to Spot a Bad House in 60 Seconds, right? The title's alarming. The title is not as bad as the video seems. But what the video is, hey, I'm showing up to a house to show it. As an agent, these are the things that I'm looking at as soon as I pull up to the house, right? And it starts with looking at the street. Okay, how many cars are on the street? If there's an oversupply of cars, probably not a good sign for parking when you get off work. Might be multi-generational living, a lot going on. As I'm walking to the front of the house, I'm looking at the roof. And basically going through all of the things that I do as an agent when I walk through that property, when I have a buyer right beside me. Right? These are the conversations I'm having with the buyer as we're walking through. So that was the video, talking head video, same background here. Had I actually done it in person, it probably would have performed way better. But it's got 100+ thousand views on the video, and it's essentially what you just did. So what you just did, you could easily take that video, put it on YouTube, and I mean, reframe the conversation, right? Do another one. And that video would perform because that's the stuff that buyers want to know. They want to know, what should I be paying attention to? Hey, maybe their cousin's representing them on the listing, has never sold a house before. They have no idea what to look for. So you got to use that experience as an agent, as a professional, and tell people, hey, listen, this is what I do. This is what separates me. This is what you get when you hire me. And people find value in that.
Yeah, for sure. And then people want to know, you know, people want to know the true opinion of things. And I'm always telling people, like, look, I'm not going to send you this video because I'm trying to offend you. I'm sending this video because I want to be honest with you. I'd rather be honest with you on the front than have all of these showings and waste the time of the showings when we're getting the same objection over and over and over again, because I'd rather set those expectations up front and then you make the corrections and then we get the opportunity on the front end. So it's just the conversation that I like to have up front with my sellers. And I think that's super important for us as listing agents who are trying to get listings, is how do we get more listings? How do we add more value? And I'm loving the idea about putting a YouTube channel up specifically talking to sellers, because I know a lot of realtors are like you, just kind of like, we like our buyers, but we're really listing agents. And how do we?
Well, and there's a lack of channels out there. I mean, to be completely honest, I mean, when you compare it to first-time home buyer channels, there's way more people talking to the home buyer versus the home seller. Now, I think that'll probably start to change as some of these channels are doing well and people start to see it. But nevertheless, I think there's still a huge opportunity out there in the market.
Yeah, for sure, man. Well, look, dude, we blew through 30 minutes, man. We're cut from the same cloth, brother. We're both out there trying to help agents win in their business. So we're going to go ahead and give you one more chance to speak to an agent who is out there struggling right now. They are looking at maybe your success and they're saying, man, Jeb is doing all these things and he's out there crushing it, but I'm just trying to get another deal before the end of the year, or I'm just trying to make it through the end of the year, man, just so I can pay my licensing and continue to be a realtor. So speak to that agent, man, who is out here struggling, and then we'll close it out.
I think there's a lot of shiny objects out there. It's really easy to get caught up in what somebody else is doing on Instagram, what somebody else is doing on YouTube, what somebody else is doing here or there. And to be completely honest, a lot of it's noise. I know a ton of successful agents that do no social media, nothing at all, but just cultivate that database, you know, provide value to the people that they've already served, continue to serve those people, reach out to your database, stay in touch with the people that know you, like you, trust you. That's where I would spend my time, effort, and energy. If I was looking for a deal today, I wouldn't be on YouTube. I wouldn't be on Instagram personally. I mean, I know there's people out there that would be find success in it and do great at it. What I would do is I would call through my database and I would tell people, hey, listen, this is what's going on. This is where I'm at in the market. I wouldn't give the sob story, but I would say, hey, listen, this is my goal for 2026. My goal for 2026 is to help this many people. And, you know, I'm reaching out to you because you're a valuable client of mine. I want to find more clients just like you. Who do you know that's just like you that's looking to buy a house? I mean, that sort of conversation, people will respect that, right? And they may not have somebody immediately, but trust me, if you ask for help, people will start to think about it. And I think you got a better chance of getting deals and opportunities that way than starting something new. Now, if you're going to do that, I think it's okay to do both, but my focus would be on the database.
I'm glad you said that, man, because I totally agree with you. I think the next deal is right in your phone. You've literally got the next deal right in your contacts. 100%. And I think if you just scroll through, man, I feel like you call 10 people, you're going to get one opportunity. It's just a matter of putting in the work, showing up, and getting the opportunity. I believe that people who get the opportunity show up to get the opportunity. That's the biggest thing, is just realtors with the amount of education and the amount of information that's out here about how to succeed in your real estate business. The only reason I think that realtors are not hitting their goals and they're not achieving the success that they want to achieve in their real estate business is that they just didn't show up for themselves and show up for their real estate business. So just my opinion, but I encourage realtors to show up and get in the game. Man, when I first started playing tennis, I researched tennis. I watched YouTube videos and all the things about tennis, how to hit a backhand, how to hit a forehand, how to serve, how to play the net, all of those things, right? But there's no replacement for actually getting on the tennis court and hitting tennis balls. You got to get in the game, and getting in the game means getting on the phone, having conversations, having connections, building connections with people, getting in the game, learning the game, getting good at the game. That's how you succeed. And getting off of the videos and watching, you know, getting on the court, I think is huge. So, Jeb, thank you, my brother, for being on the podcast, man. Appreciate your time. And I appreciate you, you know, hanging out with us for coffee and getting to connect with you over at Rise, man. It was super fun. So I'm glad to get your backstory, brother. And I encourage you guys to go check out Jeb's YouTube channel. Maybe don't follow it, but go check out Jeb's.
You can follow it. And I'm an open book. I tell everybody, Jamie, like, hey, if you have questions, you're an agent, you have questions about YouTube, call me. I'm happy to have the conversation.
Yeah, so. Brother. That's awesome, man. And I appreciate you being that way. So we're going to put some of Jeb's contact information. That way you guys can go follow him and see what he's all about. Check out a couple of his YouTube channels. We're going to put a link to a couple of those channels over in the details of the podcast. And I really appreciate you guys joining us every Monday morning at 5 a.m. We launch a brand new episode of this podcast. And it means the world to us to have the opportunity to be with you every single week. So I hope that you are enjoying the content, and I hope that you guys have an amazing day.